Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
Ever heard of a popcorn-driven robot? This week on Meat and Three, we're bringing you stories about the intersection of food and tech.
We're interested in building swarms of many cheap, small robots and powering them and driving them forward with as little effort and as little energy as possible.
We cover tech by land.
Imagine if you could cut fresh microgreens onto your salad and eat it while the greens are still fresh and nutritious and delicious and alive. That dream is real.
We cover tech by sea.
We're building software-based business services to help shellfish growers manage and grow their business.
And we cover tech in the social media stratosphere.
So it's not really necessarily an indictment on food media or media consumption at all. It's how the robots decided that they were going to weight human interaction.
Tune in and get techie this week on Meat and Three, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Souther Teague of Amoria Margo and a co-host of The Speakeasy right here on Heritage Radio Network. You know, my favorite thing to do every week is to come here and be on the show. I have lots of jobs. I am a very busy person. And I do this because I love it. I get to sit down and talk to all my heroes for about an hour every week. It's incredible. And I hope that you enjoy it, making a great effort to share with you. And we'd like you to share back with us. It's our summer fundraiser, and we'd love for you to donate at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. You can click on the beating heart, and you can even choose shows that you'd like to donate to specifically. And you can also choose a recurring monthly gift. And for all that, we'd be greatly appreciative. Thank you so much.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, buddy.
How you been?
I'm just trying to cool off, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long, hot week.
Yes, it was, down in New Orleans for both of us.
For Tales of the Cocktail.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was kind of quiet this year, right?
There were less attendees this year. I think people were still trying to get over the hurt from what went on with the situation last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you noticed. I noticed that Neil Bodenheimer and the new Solomon family taking over made a lot of big changes.
Yeah, it was really cool. And like actually the vibe overall like across the city was a lot more chill and like kind of like just being way cooler.
I think so. Yeah, well, way cooler in the 160 degree,
yeah, exactly.
56% humidity heat.
Everyone was very, like, just, I don't know, it felt like, kind of like the original, like, community again.
I think so, too.
It was like a reset.
Yeah, I hope that that's what's going to happen. Lots of more inclusive and diverse programming. I loved the fact that they had the whole week long at the New Orleans Athletic Center was dedicated to yoga classes, AA meetings, mental health and wellness meetings. I led one of them over there. Everybody knows I've been pretty vocal about that kind of stuff with Kat Kinsman, who's been on the show before. So I think a lot of programming was designed to be a whole lot more inclusive and responsible, which I think it needed.
Yeah.
It was getting a little out of hand.
Yeah, and honestly, like that said, responsibility. It was like it didn't feel like such a. It did definitely there was some like. Joviality involved, hanging out and drinking and stuff, but it didn't seem like it was all about parties this time. You know, it like kind of
well, even some of the activations were more sort of relaxing. You know, the Altos Bodega was just a huge 2-floor space where there was tons of tables and seats, and you could just kind of hang out and chat
like
and
board games.
And
there was like some music, live music,
exactly. Yeah, so there were a lot of activations like that, and you know, my seminar was sold out. The panel I was on about single focus bars, and everyone was very engaged. And just like the one we did last year, we had to take more questions after our time was up out in the hallway.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great new beginning for Tales.
Yeah,
I'm very excited cool. about it.
And we got to go to
we
the,
got to go to the Spirited Awards. That was fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing,
I popped a bottle of champagne in the theater.
Nothing amazing happened
almost
there.
Almost caught it in my hat.
Yeah, you did.
I caught it in my hat, but it bounced out.
It bounced a hard. You had your hard.
It was a hard hat straw hat on.
Hard straw hat. We went to the Spirited Awards. We got all dressed up, and then we did not get invited up on stage to win for our category of Best Broadcast Podcast or Video Series. The title went to the kind of undisputed champion, Dave Wondrich, of his brand new baby podcast with Noah Ruthbaum on the Daily Beast called Life Behind Bars. Congratulations to those guys.
Congrats, guys.
Now they have enough plates to have a proper dinner party.
Yeah. You know, if you're up against Wondrich for any award,
you're coming in second.
Coming in second. At best.
At best. Yeah. That's the jam.
What was. So you got back. And immediately, you went to a concert last night.
I did. Recently we had a friend of mine in the studio, Val, who's a drummer for Haley. Oh, crap, I always forget the name of the band. Anyway, she was on stage last night, Haley Kiyoko, that's it, on stage at Madison Square Garden, sold-out show, opening band for a little number called Panic at the Disco. Crazy, crazy crowd, and I got to go see her just thrash away. It was inspirational. She looked like a river of joy and emotion up there beating those drums. It's
cool.
Great to know that I have friends who are outside of my own business who are enjoying, you know, the rewards of hard work, which are, you know, tons of success. So it's really interesting to get to go to that.
Yeah.
I'd never been to Madison Square Gardens.
Right out of Tales of the Cocktail. I can't believe you went to a concert.
Yeah, no.
Probably crashed real hard right after that, huh?
I did. I slept for 12 hours last night. So that's more sleep than I've had in any four-day period in the last year.
Nice.
So I'm feeling pretty peppy today.
All right. Yeah, I can already tell.
Which is great because we have some great people in the studio. I'm calling this episode The Gatekeepers. We have Santi Dady from PDT, Please Don't Tell. We've definitely had some folks on from there. Jim Meehan has been on
Jeff
in the past.
Been on.
So she mans the phones and also does other work there. She gets behind the bar from time to time. And then we've got Josh Polina. He's the door guy, stands outside, rain or shine, summer or winter, at PDT, my neighbor. At Death & Company, my neighbor, right there on 6th Street in the East Village. So we got two folks in the studio who keep the gates of some of the most popular bars in New York City. Thanks for being in the studio.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yay!
Thanks a lot for having us, guys.
Yeah, man. Well, I think it's going to be interesting and educational for the two of us, which means then that I think it's going to be at least listen-worthy for our audience to understand what it is you guys do and how you do it and how you deal with people. Because we hear...
I really need to know because I freak out. Like, if I have to kick people out and I do, like, more regularly than I want to, I had to kick someone out last night.
Jesus.
It's
what, are you running just a roadhouse over there?
Yeah, basically. But I've gotten to this point in my career where, like, I've had to do it so many times that I'm just, like, have lost my patience. And I just, like, fucking flip out. And, like, I've had to take myself off the schedule for, like, a week.
To recover.
To recover.
Yeah, to emotionally, like, reset.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's not the kind of shit you guys are having to deal
yeah,
with.
You got
to
tell me
I'm
how
just
to do
more
this
curious
right
on how you deal
say,
with...
Working the door at PDT is like being a punching bag
yeah.
all night long.
I'm sure.
So you have to just recover really quickly.
And you've been there for 5 years.
Six and a half years.
Manning the phones, and you now you do some bar shifts too, right?
I don't bartend there.
Oh, no?
I bartend at Lion Lion.
Okay.
But I also do the floor, bar back sometimes, whatever they need.
Yeah. Well, after that long in a space that small, you just start doing everything that
yeah,
needs
exactly.
to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
So talk to us a little bit. Let's start with you then. Let's talk to us a little bit about how your day goes. You guys do take reservations, but only day of, and you only start answering the phone at 3 p.m.,
yeah, so Jim's concept was that taking same-day reservations would lower the amount of cancellations or no-shows, which I think is good.
Yeah.
What happens is that the phone lines, it's like a flood at 3 p.m., and like people will finally get through after like 150 calls, and they'll be disappointed that the only reservation I have available is 6 p.m. or 2 a.m., and nothing in between. And they're like, well, I've been calling 100 times. And I understand that they've worked really hard. But just basically all these calls are pinging off of one phone line.
Right.
So we book really quickly, which is amazing. And then we open at 6 and we're full from 6:30 till 2. Which
every
is
day.
Every day. Working the weekends is a whole different ball game than working on the weekdays. Because the wait can get up to 3 hours. And that's
because you do hold some seats for walk-ins,
we have
right?
bar seats for walk-ins, and then all the tables are done by reservation.
Right.
So we have 13 seats, and on a weekend, I'll fill 3 pages of names. So that's 60 names per page times 3. And those are parties of like 2 or 3 or 5. So I have like hundreds of people vying for 13 seats. And it gets, it's like a funnel, basically. Yeah. Like the door is like a funnel.
Yeah.
With like a very fine stream of people that are
like
able to come.
Like sands through the hourglass.
Exactly. So it's, I've learned so much in having to deal with people, like observing them within like 10 seconds and like, I'm going to say making a judgment.
Yeah.
On like if they're patient,
yeah.
if they're going to come back, if they're going to come back sober enough to be
sure,
able to.
Sure, because that's another thing you've got. If you got a 3-hour wait, I'm going to go wait at another bar. Yeah. I might be coming back to you.
Maybe far, 2 or 3 other bars.
I might be far past where you wanted me to be in your bar in the first place.
Exactly. Our bars. A great place for a nightcap if you haven't gone too far.
If you aren't already past the nightcap stage.
Exactly.
So then, I mean, part of making that judgment call is like, I mean, you're essentially like screening people if they're like, ah, like, I mean, the obvious thing that you don't do in that situation as a customer trying to get in, like, and you're on a 3-hour wait, it's like, let's just go down like to Cherry Hill Tavern or like go to like Niagara for 3 hours.
Right.
You don't say that out loud right in front of you.
Well, they do say that sometimes.
But
also,
then you're like, you know
I,
what? Actually, I don't think we're going to be able to get you in tonight.
One of the
things that's been a benefit about PDT being so established is that it kind of also was the catalyst for a lot of bars in the neighborhood. So I send them over to Amore Margo if I think
you.
They're cool. Sometimes they're not.
I'd appreciate you keeping those to yourself. So I send all those to Death and Company.
Oh.
I send every, you know, I do the same thing. We all do the same thing. I read my guests, and, you know, if they're at my bar and they're having a great time and they're nice to me and nice to the people around them and they say, where should we go next? I definitely give them a good rec. Go to Bargoto. It's my favorite place.
Yeah, we all have
but
each other's numbers.
But if they're kind of shitheads, I'm like, that's a great place next door called Cherry Tavern, which I love. It's a great bar. It's just a dive bar, though. Pool table, kind of unlevel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I read my guests and send them where I think they need to go.
You have to balance expectations. Telling somebody to wait 3 hours for a drink is very uncommon.
Yeah. We live in a very kind of uber 1% of the world that deals with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Imagine that. You got to wait 3 hours for a drink, Damon. How do you feel?
I probably have a flask on me. I don't know. But
that's the other thing. PDT and bars like, we'll get to you, Josh, in a sec. PDT and Death and Company, those are bars that are not just about the drink. It's the experience.
Right.
Right?
So
there's a lot of like cocktail tourism that goes on, too. You just want to get in the space to say, I was in that space.
Yeah. That's I kind of shot myself in the foot when I opened Grand Army because I was like, I don't want to have a door policy. I want to just be like, just kind of flood the bar, but still like doing cocktails. And that's why I have to kick people out all the time because there's no screening at the door. And, you know, we're doing like boozy, stirred cocktails and a lot of them.
Right.
I mean, we do a lot of volume at that bar.
So,
and the thing is, like, I wish all the time that I had someone like watching the door and like.
Well, so let's talk about that. Let's get Josh. Josh, so you see the actual person because you don't take reservations at Death & Co.
No, we don't.
You open every day at 6, then you kind of immediately are on a wait.
Yep, it's first come, first served. You show up, and that's when we start taking people in. Thing is, with screening, it's all about when you wait that long to get a drink. It's got to be a positive experience. Everybody in there has to be on that same level.
Right.
Relax. You get one party in a room of 50 people with negative vibe, and it's going to screw up the whole thing that we got going on. So that's, as the door person, that's the biggest thing is, identifying
I think a lot of folks who come to bars, especially like yours or any bar in general, They don't understand exactly what your job is, right? Your job isn't to check their ID to see how
bouncer?
Old they are. Exactly.
Are you the bouncer? Well,
you're the doorman.
Fortunately, we don't have to bounce very much at Death & Co.
Right.
It's
right.
Yeah. It's
but people get confused when they're like, I'm clearly 48 years old. You don't need to see my ID. You're not looking at their ID. You're making sure that they're sober. You're engaging them in conversation. You're looking them in the eye and seeing if they can look back at you. Like
if they can find their ID.
Right. Can't find your ID. Maybe you don't have your wallet. I don't want you going inside without any money.
Yeah.
Because I want some of it.
In training all the new hosts, I'm always like, the act of asking for ID is not really to see how old they are.
Exactly. No, never.
It's to gauge them, their body language, their ability to receive an instruction and follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
My ID, I'm clearly 38 years old.
Yeah, it was just produce it.
Come on, just
produce it.
I didn't. Yeah, it's like
it's a reasonable request.
I want to see you. You know, see your level of dexterity. Can you get into your wallet and out? Yeah. Like how drunk are you?
You know that. Oh, yep.
Because again, they don't really understand what you're asking for. They think you're just checking their age.
Yeah.
So back to you, Josh. You get pretty much immediately any given night. I assume. I mean, I'm right next door, so I see it. There's a line building up before you open.
Yes.
You come out. You have 48 seats, right?
Yeah. Close to
in go 48 people. You're on immediate wait.
Yeah.
How does it start from there then? What's the first guy who doesn't get to get in the door? How's he feel?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times there will be more people
because he's in the worst position. He realizes everybody just went in, meaning no one's leaving immediately. Yeah, I'm going to be in line. I'm in line for a while.
Well, I send them down the street. You know, we have a great trio of bars down there. You know, it's try to create a positive out of. You know, it's having to wait doesn't have to be a negative thing. It's creating, you know, maybe they're coming to Death & Co., but, you know, they stop by Moria Margo, they stop by Mother of Pearl, Cienfuegos.
Blue Quarter.
And Blue Quarter. They, I have been sending people over there. You know, they end up going over there. It starts their experience off in a positive way, and they come back. Maybe they're, you know, a couple drinks in. They're ready to continue the experience. Great time there. You know, so it's all about, you know, for us as a door person, facilitating that, you know, turning a somewhat seemingly negative thing into a positive and helping them.
How long does the wait get at Death & Company?
Well, you know, we'll get up to most I've seen it for a wait for a party of two. Has been about 55 parties. So when you tell them, they don't
count it by time. They count it by parties over there, right?
Yeah, we do not quote times.
You don't try and offer a time, yeah.
Yeah, we don't quote times because it's impossible to quote times.
It's ludicrous.
Times. Yeah.
That's the other thing I think is very interesting to talk about real quickly is that. I think the general public thinks that you can give them a time because they're used to going to restaurants. But at a restaurant, you can look at a table and be like, they're on dessert. They're leaving soon.
Yes. There's.
But at a bar, they're finishing their drink. They're having another. They ordered. Yeah. They got the check. They paid the check. Oh, they decided to have another.
Yeah.
Like it's.
They ran into someone that was the next party and sat next to them. They're
started
like,
chatting
shit,
them up.
Let's
do
it.
Exactly.
Let's have some more drinks. But also, like, the thing is, like, that whole mentality of quoting people all times, it's such a fucking American thing, I feel like.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. It like, doesn't really exist anywhere else. It's like, just hang out until like your table's ready. We don't know. Like when you're in like Italy or France,
sure.
It's like no one quotes you times. That's just something that like there's got to be that immediate like I need to know now.
Right? This you tell them 10 minutes, and 11 minutes later they're up in your face,
freaking out.
Where you said 10 minutes, 11 minutes ago. Okay, back to 55 people ahead of them, and what did that poor bastard think?
Well, that's the thing. You know, you can have all those people come to the door and put their name and number down, but it's just a wait list. You know, these people aren't guaranteed to come back. That's what I always tell people. It's
55 ahead of you, but let's
say they all cancel.
Let's take 10 of them out for attrition, so it's 45.
Yeah, exactly. So I never, you know, that's the thing. I never say, hey, we don't have anything left for tonight. Say, put your name and number down, you know, if you get the text, you know.
If you get it, you get it.
You get it.
Yeah, sometimes I'll call 20 people. One or two might say they're coming back, and then they don't.
Yeah.
And then I'm...
Was they're not having fun, having a drink somewhere else? I get it. Like,
so
I get it.
That's the flip side of, like, that's the spinning a positive is, like, you know, like telling your people on the wait list, it's like, you know what? Most of these people are going to cancel, or they're going to, like, go to dinner, and they're going to be stuck there or whatever. And then, then, like, I can't tell you that you're, like, the 55th person in line, but you could be the fifth,
right.
You know?
Exactly. True.
It's very, very possible that that's going to happen.
There's a lot of volatility, you know?
Yeah. It churns and changes. All right, we're about at the midway point. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and talk to Santi and Josh about what, if anything, they can do to get up the list. No, there's nothing you can do. All right,
we'll Unless be
right
you're
back.
Us.
Yeah, you'll be right back. I never flex that muscle.
Come on.
All right, we'll be right back.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com. Following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
Hello, we are back.
Welcome back.
All right. So, well, this has been an interesting show.
No, I'm fascinated by all this. So we were just getting to the point where, all right, now we've got people who are in line. And sometimes what happens at my bar, at Amore Mar, because I'm kind of weirdly located, not in between the two of you, but something like that, I get some of your runoff. And folks from that are online for Death & Co., they've got a waiting. You've given them a quote. 50 guests ahead of you, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They'll often sit there, and two things happen. One thing that happens a lot is they'll say, I don't think they're ever going to call us. We're not dressed well enough. We don't look good enough. And that's not true, right?
No, it's a purely democratic process of...
Ooh, democratic.
Yeah,
but we see how that's working out.
I tell people, we're not a nightclub. It doesn't matter how many girls or guys you have. And I'm trying to be, like, PC about this. But I also kind of want to, like, explain to them, like, your gender is not an issue here.
Sure. The height of your heels doesn't matter.
We just take people's names. We call them in the order that they come.
Yep. Exactly.
If it just so happens that the bar's full of douchey bros, like... And you're just like, God damn it, I guess we have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And there's no, off the air you mentioned, there's no paying your way in, right?
No, definitely not. That would be the worst case scenario. Somebody comes in, jumps the line because they paid their way in. People offer me money all the time.
It's a lot of fortitude to say no, Josh.
The difficulty is once, if they pay their way in and they sit down and they... ask for Budweiser, which we don't have, or something like that, then they start to critique the experience because they're not having the level of service that they wanted.
They didn't have to earn it, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the entitlement and the guest experience can kind of diminish really quickly. Yeah. So you want to make sure that people are respectful of the space that you've allowed them in.
But Josh, you were saying you're fine with getting a tip on their way out, right?
Oh, yeah. I take my job very, very seriously. And I know once they go inside, they're going to have one of the best, drinks experiences that there is to have in this country. In the world. I really, truly
believe that. It's a world-class bar.
I trust my servers, my bartenders, the utmost. I want them to get taken care of. I am paid handsomely for the job I do, but what I always say is, yes, I do accept tips, but leave it till the end. If you, after your whole experience, feel like I deserve something, I will accept that tip. But
tips, not
you are
bribes.
Not paying your way in. You're not
tips,
paying
not
your
bribes.
Way in.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, what about the customer for both of you? That like, that is traveling from somewhere else, could be internationally or domestic.
Oh, the sob stories I get at the bar are incredible.
That they've read about this bar forever. They know that like both of the bars that you work at are like the top bars in the world in New York City, and they get here and like they're used to the, you know, like the quote on the time and all the stuff, and then like they wait 3 hours, they get in, and then they sit down, and you don't have like Stoli Vanille or whatever,
Tito's.
You know,
Tito's
or that, yeah. And then like,
well, I think you just described the wrong person. Then they didn't read about it and have an expectation of it, right?
No, they just, but they didn't read all the way through. Like sure. A lot of people just gotcha. They just like this
headlines.
Is the number one
headlines.
Bar.
You're right,
and then like yeah, so like, I mean. Right. That definitely...
Working the door is definitely all about balancing expectations. Like, I'll get somebody who's come in and I'm like, okay, the wait's an hour and a half or however long, approximately. Because you do kind of want some wiggle room. You've got to be a little vague. But still ballpark it in a reasonable time frame. And they'll be like, I came all the way from New Jersey. And I'm like, okay, well, exactly. Like, there's three parties ahead of you that came from Australia or... Like
London or
South Africa or whatever, you know, they came from very far flights internationally. And it's not about the distance that you've traveled. It's about the time that you came in, how many people are ahead of you, and how patient you are. And so these stories, as interesting as they are, don't impact the democracy.
Yeah. But then you can, you know, on the other side, you got people who, you know, say they live outside of the country or, you know, California or wherever they're from. And they come up and like, this is my dream to be here. That's such a different, you know, I'm going to listen to that in a different way than, well, listen to how far I had to travel to get here. It's, you know, it's about framing it.
How far I wanted to travel.
Yes.
I keep track of people who I think are definitely going to be more responsive to my calls. Like if they've checked in with me twice, they have a great attitude. I know that, you know, it's 1 a.m. on a Saturday and people have waited almost 3.5-4 hours to get in. That person who's checked in twice, who still has a great attitude, is going to be more responsive than the 15 people that I have to call, you know? Yeah. And I do keep that in mind because the door person, at least for me, because I get to be inside my bar, whereas you have to be outside your bar.
Yes.
And
yeah. Yeah. I do want to touch on that some too.
So I get to manage the vibe of the room and I walk around and I bus and I serve as well during my shift so that I can like move tables quickly. So I'm a floor assistant as well as like the gatekeeper.
Right. So that probably gives you a little bit of a better gauge on timing.
Yeah.
Cause you're,
exactly.
Because
I can see and check in.
You're touching the table. You're talking to them. Oh, I'm clearing this drink. Are you going to have another? You can casually ask. And if they say no, you've got an idea that they're leaving.
I can go back to the door and be like, all right, this is where these people are at. Right. I can get you in this amount of time.
Cause it's 48 at death. And what do you got at PET seats?
We have 3 booths that can fit 8, so, and then like a smaller booth in the back, 13 bar seats, and 2 tables that can be 2 or 3 tops.
Right.
Spare stool. So there's fluctuating, like max capacity, it's like 50-ish.
Right.
That's
so similar. But that's really bursting, yeah.
Bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
Do you, at those larger tables, the ones that seat 8, do you communal? Do you make those communal? Will you sit 2 4s or whatever?
Well, oh, this is a good story that I wanted to say.
Excellent. Segue.
It is highly discouraged to do that because sometimes people won't get along with each other. And so, especially because it's a booth style instead of like a long family table. There have been moments when we do have to throw out people at PDT. And generally speaking, most people come in and they understand, especially because of the process of waiting and the transformative experience that you have coming from a super rowdy hot dog restaurant where the counter girls are yelling and screaming and the music is really loud and there's just like bros like throwing ketchup into their faces and stuff like that.
Right, for the uninformed, it's PDT is located inside of Criff Dogs, which is a well-known hot dog shop in New York City.
So the vibe is very, very different. You go from like loud, super high energy into something that we hope to make calm and like warm.
Yeah, it's like transportive. You get taken from the streets of New York through this, like you said, rowdy hot dog joint, and then you're in this
booth.
Serene sort of den of calm.
Cocktails.
Calm yeah, cocktails. Exactly.
So, unfortunately, I wasn't there this night, but the host was like eager to fit in as many people towards the end of the night, and he made one table communal. And I think that they had gotten into a political argument that didn't go well.
And go figure.
Exactly. That's a great conversation with strangers.
No politics, no religion.
Not right now, anyway.
Apparently, I guess one of the guests was antagonizing the other and kept on eating his tater tots. And so the guy flipped the table and said, "Get your hands off, get your fascist hands off my tater tots."
Okay, that's a slogan for a t-shirt right there. PDT, get your fascist hands off my tater tots.
And they had to be removed.
Yeah.
But making tables communal, it's not really the best setting because we're a bar that we try to keep parties focused on each other. Like if you came with a certain person, pay attention to the person you're with. It's not a bar for like mingling.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Similar experience, Josh?
Well, I mean, I would say just I want to interject real quick. Mingling happens at the bar. It doesn't happen at tables.
Truth.
Yeah. True. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we observe those golden milk and honey rules. You're familiar with, mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, you don't walk up to another table and start talking to them in death and go. That's a, you know, if you're sitting right next to them at the bar, of course, you know, it's, that would be, you know.
It'd crazy. Be rude not to, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we have guests. Yeah, no, on a regular basis, try to go over the different tables, and we shut that down immediately. It goes to the same thing as...
It's similar at PDT, right? Yeah. It's seating room only, so you're seated the whole time.
Are they going standing, over to other tables, like hit on people?
Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, people, they're at a bar.
They're
used getting
to
a little loose,
bar,
and you see somebody across the room, and you know, but it's not the bar for that.
Correcting people's behavior in a way that they still feel welcome and they don't feel chastised is also very difficult.
That sounds like a nightmare to me. Like trying to get someone to go to their table or whatever. Like for me, if I'm always sitting at the bar at both of those places because I go there to sit at the bar. Yeah. I like talking to the bartenders.
Yeah.
And but you're, like, I'm friends with the bartenders.
On these occasions, you're typically rolling solo too, right? Though
it's one or two.
Mixed. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I like going to bar solo anyway, or like with one other person. I don't like to take a whole crew in because I know that, like, for instance, like going to PDT, it's like I usually like I try to be like kind of in and out.
Yeah,
and you know, pick up those. I mean, tater tots off the floor.
I'll throw this into the mix. I don't go to PDT or Death & Co. very often because I feel like I'm in the way.
Yeah,
I feel like you guys are a machine and you're cruising, and I don't want to get in the way.
Well, you know what?
But that's just me as a bar owner.
But, also
but you're always welcome.
Thank you. Exactly. I don't ever feel not welcome. I feel like, maybe I'll go late at night. Or
typically, when I go to Death & Company these days, it's like when I'm walking by and see him outside.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What's up, dude? I'm walking to see you at Amore Margo." I'm like, "Man, what's up?" Like, "I don't know. We talk real quick."
And then,
minutes. Who's working tonight? Oh, so I'm like, it's like, you should go say hi. I bet they'd like it if you said hi.
Come in for a shot.
So yeah. I go in for a shot, but I'm in and out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's no standing room in that bar or in PDT.
You know, I mean, like, well, not just that there's no room, but it's you're encouraged not to stand.
Right.
Sort of strongly encouraged, right?
Well, what I always do, I tend to roll solo when I'm out and about and when I'm traveling, you know. So in March, I went to Europe for a month, and I was going to these cocktail bars by myself. I was traveling by myself, and I learned the importance of feeling welcome when you're just by yourself.
Sure.
So I always, you know, I always try to have a way to make a solo happen at the bar, you know, so that, you know, you guys come by, come in, come sit down, you know, we love to have friends and family in. It's kind of it's a nice change of pace. We don't have, you know, we have our regulars, but it's not like a regular bar. I would say probably experience the same thing at PDT. You know, it's not like you get the same person every single night. It's Thank not God. A bar like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, it's same for me at Amore. It's a bar that doesn't generate your daily regular. I have I have weeklies, and I have definitely like monthlies.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I feel like if you like, not to say that people shouldn't be frequent guests at those bars, but like
should there's there are many.
Yeah, but the thing
I mean,
is,
the Death & Co. book has caricatures of their regulars.
Yeah, yeah. Right, but I'm saying like being a regular. I don't know. I guess, like, to me, it's like I'm hearing about, like, all these people making these reservations. And if you're, like, constantly in there, you're kind of, like, taking seats away from people might not get that experience.
Within the structure, as the door person, I always try to make room for somebody to walk up. Now,
good thing about, like, somebody who's a semi-regular, not daily, but, like, weekly or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that, like, when you go to PUT, the bar is, like, reserved for, like, kind of, like, walk-ins rather than reservations.
The bar is walk-in only.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Right. Which is why I always sit there.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that. The whole bar is walk-in only.
You
said that, but it didn't click
Sometimes
to me that the whole thing.
Sometimes when people call, because we only have two smaller tables for two tops or three tops, so sometimes when people call, they can request the bar, and if I have two bar seats open, I'll put them at the bar and then put a walk-in at a table.
Got it.
But the benefit of having like semi-weekly regulars is that they have an understanding of the vibe and the room
and are respectful.
And so you know that you, like, already off the bat, you know that these guests are going to behave themselves.
Right. Yeah. You're hedging your own bets in that regard.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've often told people who come to my bar, I get a lot of international travelers, and often they're alone because they're here on business or whatever, so they're not traveling with their partners or what have you. And I say to them, a good hack, and I could be totally wrong, but I've assumed always a good hack to try and get into your places specifically because you're so close by, is to go right up to the door person and say, I'm in town from far away. I just want the experience. I'm here for one. I'll pay in cash. Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm down for 20 minutes. If you've got a space that you haven't reserved and you know that there's a 20-minute gap, I'll be that gap.
Well, for us, we never want to rush the experience.
Sure.
You know, once you come in, I want you to stay as long as you'd like. I would never
A rush drink for a group is 40 minutes, and that's a rush.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, yeah I was going to say, like, so whenever you have these reservations at PDT, do you have, like, a time limit on them, or is it just, like...
No, we stagger the reservations throughout the evening, and generally it works out.
Works out. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you got 10 years of practice.
Our policy, you know, like, we have our rules or guidelines written in the bathroom, and it's like, you know, don't hit on strangers, please stay seated, don't make out, keep your hands to yourself. We will ask for the table back after an hour, after the last drink is ordered, but we're so busy. Once people pay the check, we're like, okay, great. We've got a next party ready for you. So you also, like, again, it's all this correcting of behavior because people are not, this is a different type of bar.
Sure.
So when you're asking for the table back, you have to be very positive. When you're asking people to sit down but still have a good time and not feel, like, chastised, you have to be very positive. When you're asking people not to make out, that can be a little, that's the most, like, sensitive one, where you have to go, and I'm like, hey guys, how are you? You know, PDA at PDT, like something kind of dorky.
PDA at PDT, that's another t-shirt.
and you know, sometimes they won't understand it, and then I get called back, and they're like, what do you mean, PDA? And then I have to explain it. So,
which makes it even more dorky and awkward, but also gets the message across.
I've had to be like, oh, just, you know, everybody's in the room. This isn't your bedroom.
Yeah.
So just like
we can all see you.
I have had like
and we're all looking at you.
I've had somebody argue with me that their love and the expression of their love was inspiring everyone else in the room to be in love.
To vomit.
And I was like, and asking me about the policy, and I have to say it as civilly as possible. But I'm like, hey, well, you know. This is your bartender's workspace. He's 3 feet away from you. Do people come into your workspace and lick each other's faces?
Right.
And that didn't really also... It didn't get absorbed, but, you know, we were both trying to... We were reasoning with each other.
Sure. I have... it's a rare occasion, but I have condoms that I had made that have the I Heart Bitters emblem like my pen does, and I'll just drop the check with a condom.
Oh,
I'm like, hey, I'm helping you out. Next step. Next step.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the... You said you had the guy, you weren't there that night, but the guy that flipped the table over. That's pretty extreme. Josh, you have any extreme? I had to grab him by the scruff of the neck and haul him out of there.
I
just don't picture that happening in either of those bars.
I've had to kick somebody out who was smoking a cigarette inside Crypt Dogs. I took them out by their ear.
Yeah. I'd love that.
Well, once people get inside a Death & Co.,
small but mighty something. Yeah,
it's very rare that, you know, somebody causes a scene inside. It's a lot of, you know, that's the thing is screening at the door.
Sure.
I've had people...
It's a testament to you doing a good job if that shit doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But you've learned your lesson.
Yes.
Yeah, something had to teach you.
Oh, yeah. I get people, you know, I've had people take swings at me, you know, because you are exposed out there, you know, yell every name under the sun and... Like, man, it's a drink.
Also,
you know,
violence,
doing my job.
Yeah.
Violence and anger are not going to make me want you to come
in. I don't know what
and,
you're trying to
and
accomplish
I think also
here.
And a lot of people don't understand that. Like, if you're nice, civil, then you will be rewarded.
Yes.
If you scream at me and you call me names and you're aggressive to people,
sure.
you're not cooperative.
The very nature of being a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You are the one that can control the gate.
Then I'm less willing to comply with you because if you're volatile out here...
What are you going
to
be in there? Yeah.
How are you going to treat my staff inside?
And other guests.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Exactly. One piece of advice, you're trying to get in the door at PDT or Death & Company... Just be the most normal version of yourself that you can possibly be. That's
friendly
really,
and energetic, too.
No, you don't
patient.
Have to be, you don't have to be friendly.
You've said patient like six times.
Yeah.
So patience is key to get into
PDT. Yeah, of course. But just be a normal person. I mean, that's really...
How do you... Okay, let's shift off the negative sides of it. Because I don't think you deal with it a lot. It doesn't sound like you deal with it a lot. But you... but you, Josh, you're... Santi's in the comfort of the bar.
Exactly.
She's answering the phone at 3 o'clock.
And I have a locked door.
And a locked door.
Which
you're
really
outside
is.
In the rain, in the snow, in the heat.
Oh, yeah.
All year long.
Yeah.
There's no time that the door person at Death & Co. isn't outside.
How do you stay... Exactly. How do you not get frostbite?
Yeah. Well, you know, the most important things are the extremities. Really warm socks. Insulated boots. Nice gloves, but you know, then we have the iPad, so you have to have those like touchscreen gloves, which are actually pretty thin. So what I do is do like the fingerless gloves and then the iPad touchscreen gloves underneath.
Yeah.
I found that works, and there's like a mitten that goes over the top of the keep the tips nice. you know, and just dress for the occasion. You know, and just try to maintain a positive attitude. Right inside the door, we have a little heater, though. So if it ever gets too crazy, just pop right inside,
hang
warm up for a second.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the good thing about the winter months is I do see an increase in tips, you know, a little, call them pity tips.
Yeah.
You know.
I see that you're suffering. You have rainy nights, you get a little better.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But then, you know, we
bastard.
Get these... you know, fall nights, spring, summer, when it's these beautiful nights, there's nothing I'd rather be doing than staying out there in the East Village. You know, it's the thing, like, you're the face of the bar. You know, I've gotten to know, in, like, the almost 2 years I've been doing this, gotten to know, like, all the neighbors, all their dogs walking by. You know, there's a lot of perks
That's
to the
nice.
Job. Yeah.
Oh, you get to see the sunset, too. I have not seen the sunset in years.
Years.
Yeah, no, it's some
amazing.
Beautiful sunsets there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating, and I'm really glad that we got you guys on to talk about an aspect of the business that I don't have to deal with very often. Obviously, Damon doesn't either. And I think, you deal with the kicking out.
I see, you're on the inside of the door of the bar. You're on the outside of the door of the bar. I'm behind the bar when I have to do this shit, which is probably another episode that we need to get into at another time. Because I've had to fly over the bar at people.
Oh, yeah.
On more times than I'd really like to admit. Anyway.
That is an episode. That's another
Consider
episode.
Consider a that. Door guy.
Yeah.
Consider a professional door guy. Actually, I'm going to be a dean. Well, I am a dean. I'm a dean of one of the schools at this year's Portland Cocktail Week. My school of training is bartending and hospitality. I think this definitely falls under hospitality. I might talk to one or both of you after the show about coming on and teaching a class about running the door. You want to fly out to Portland? Be fun.
I'd love it.
I'm going to say thanks again both to Santi Diddy and Josh Polina for being on the show. And then we need to wrap this thing up. But you and I, Damon, we're going to Cleveland this
Cleveland,
weekend.
Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland Rock City.
You know, Tennessee Williams very famously said, in America, there are three cities, New York, New Orleans, and San Francisco. All the rest is Cleveland. So why is it exactly we're going to Cleveland?
I don't know.
We're going over there.
We're going to Porco Lounge.
We're going over there to hang out with the team at Porco Lounge, Stefan Waz and his whole team. We're going to be doing an event where we're going to it's a Bitters and Amaro showdown. He's got like tons of Amari sponsors coming on board. I guess we're going to have like a big family meal kind of thing. It's for industry only, so sorry for the listeners who aren't industry. But if you're industry and you're living in Cleveland, this Sunday night at Porco Lounge, I think there's about 20 different Amaro on the list, including, of course, Fernet Branca, because they love that stuff over there. Amaro Montenegro's on the list, I think. And we're just going to be drinking Amaros and having a good time. I'm also going to give away one. I only have one left until they come out. One copy of my book, I'm Just Here for the Drinks, available now on Amazon.com. I'm going to give away one copy of the book, as well as a whole bunch of swag from all these Amari companies. We're doing a raffle, and it's all going to benefit this guy named John, who works at the Noble Beast Brewing Company over there. He was on his bicycle like I was a year ago, and he had an accident. He hit a pothole, busted his head, has a blood clot in his brain, has to have emergent surgery right away. So we're trying to raise some money for John from Noble Brewing Company. Noble Beast Brewing Company. That's what we're doing this weekend, and we're excited to do it. Upcoming shows. Next week, we've got Amy Zavato. She's going to be on talking about her new book, Prosecco Made Me Do It. following that, we've got Rob Morton from his new venture over in Brooklyn called Voltaire. Pretty cool Southern-inspired bar.
Yeah, that's just up the street from... That's between my house and my apartment, or my bar and my apartment.
Have you been yet?
I've been once, but I got to go a few times while they're in construction, because you know how I like checking out bars while they're in construction.
I do, too. It's fascinating.
But it looks great. It used to be... It was apartment 138 back in the day.
Oh, right.
And then they did a really, really great job with it. They've got a big backyard. It's sweet, man. I had a great burger there.
Past that, in no particular order, Charlotte Voisey, Ben Rojo, and Freddie Sarkis are all going to be on the show. So those are some upcoming shows. And listen, if you want more from us, you can follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. Damon's available at Damon Bolte. That's BOELTE on Instagram. You can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Also, if you would, take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform. Give us a star rating, 5 if possible. And if you're visiting New York City or you're a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out to us beforehand and make sure we're here, because sometimes we're not. But we'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a lot of fun recently having it. We've done it
a bunch.
A bunch, like over the last couple of years.
Now we're trying to organize it. Yeah.
And, you know, we want to make sure that we're not, like, completely packing the studio with a bunch of people. But we always usually
have...
Well, I mean, like, we've got only finite space, you know, but
all of space is finite and infinite.
That's another show, Souther.
Oh, right. Cosmos.
That's when we have Neil deGrasse Tyson on.
I do. I forgot to mention this real fast. We got this box of Q sodas here. Lindsay Madison works for them now, and she sent us a whole box, a sample of all of their flavors.
Very cool.
So we got those on the bar now at the new Speakeasy bar. Just wanted to mention that.
Very cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's great.
Take us out.
All right, cool. We will see you this weekend in Cleveland if you're around. We'll be
Cleveland
there Sunday
rocks.
Sunday and Monday night.
Yep.
Leaving Tuesday morning, but please come out and give us a shout. Maybe we can meet up for a cocktail somewhere or go with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Very insightful. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many, many more programs like this one. Be sure to click on the beating heart to donate to the station. That's how we keep this going. And till next week, we'll see you. All right. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in that rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.